For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 46. And there we read God's holy word. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden, they are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, they weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place he shall not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourself men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read, Isaiah 46, the verses 1 through 4. The first four verses of Isaiah 46, where we read God's holy word, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden, they are a burden to weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Beloved congregation, we are privileged to begin a new year in God's house. The Lord still bears with us by bringing us under the preaching of the gospel. And we? What do we do at the beginning of this year? We carry on with our daily life. What do you carry on with? Your work? Your study? The care of your children? Maybe you carry on with the difficulties you are experiencing due to a disease or brokenness in marriage or family. We all carry on. This also means that we are doing the carrying. Or are we being carried? You can carry the struggles of life. You can carry the life difficulties. The question that rises from our text this morning is, who is carrying whom? Do you carry life? Or are you carried by the life giver? Who is carrying whom? That's the theme of the sermon. First of all, carrying on. Secondly, being carried. Who is carrying whom? Carrying on, being carried. The portion of Isaiah's prophecy, which we want to study this morning, deals with the time period that Israel is brought into captivity by the Babylonians. Judah was taken into captivity as a sad result of their disobedience to the Lord, generation after generation. And once arrived in the land of the two major rivers, nowadays Iraq, they started a new life. From secular writings, we get the impression that the exiles acclimated to their new environment quite easily. From ancient tablets, we know that there were many Jews who became merchants in Babylon, though Israel has never been a nation of commerce. Babylon was much more prosperous than Canaan. The Jews started to get into business and personal transactions with Babylonians and exiles from other lands. However, they did not only readily acclimate to the prevailing conditions by engaging in a variety of business ventures. Many of them also assimilated to the Babylonians' customs and traditions. No, the Jews did not entirely deny their background. They still cherished their own culture and traditions. They served God, Jehovah, as much as possible. But we imagine that a new generation grew up who had never seen Canaan and the temple in Jerusalem. They only knew about the traditions as they were passed on by their parents. And after the temple was destroyed, the Jews started to build synagogues. And there God's word was read and explained. In the synagogue, the Jews worshipped the Lord. But many things were changed, slowly but surely. The assimilation process continued. The fact that many did not turn back to the promised land as soon as they had the opportunity confirms the process of assimilation by the Jews. How? Well, for many of these men, that if you want to do business in Babylon successfully, you have to assimilate with the world more or less. To appease your environment, you have to join in the Babylonians' customs so now and then. You can't be an outsider. And consequently, when the people bring sacrifices to their gods, you join them. The chief gods of the city of Babylon were Bel and Nebo. Bel means Lord, whose original name was probably Bel-Marduk. It's the most powerful god of the Babylonian capital. And Nebo, or Nabu, was the god of wisdom. And seeing all the wealth and prosperity that Babylon generated, who would not be impressed and fall for these gods who has brought such prosperity? And on New Year's Day, the statues of these gods were carried along in a procession through the capital city. And people lifted them up upon their shoulders, carrying them about during this great festival. They were placed on top of their livestock or upon cow carts. Everyone put much effort into worshipping their gods. A remnant of the Jews that did not assimilate to Babylon's way of life watched all these things and grieved in their hearts. They mourned God hiding his face from them. They are mentioned in Psalm 137, where we read, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." They lamented. The temple was destroyed. All its treasures were taken along to Babylon, as if God is not the Lord. And there were no sacrificial offerings anymore. The fearful questions arose in their hearts. Where was the Lord? Will Israel ever be restored? And they wept when they saw worldliness increasing among their own people. It is to them that the Lord speaks words of comfort. Being in exile, they hear the old words of the prophet by which they are led into another reality which they do not yet see. This is the reality from God's side. Only the Lord's counsel shall stand. And what we may think can be totally wrong, since we are limited to time and space. God, however, is beyond your visibility and comprehension. And the Lord points the remnant of Israel to his reality, which they didn't experience. We don't know our future. We don't know what the year 2019 will bring. The Lord knows. And the Lord says to his people that Cyrus will come from the east with his mighty military power. He is meant with the bird of prey from the east, of which we read in verse 11. He is already mentioned in chapter 41, verse 2. The great of Persia will come. Cyrus the king will besiege the capital city, Babylon, and conquer it. The ever-strong fortress will become an open city, and all its treasures will be taken out, including all the statues of Bel and Nebo, the gods of the Babylonians. And their temples will be plundered. And then it will appear that nothing will remain of that mighty, prosperous Babylon with all this his beauty and glamour. In verse 1 and 2, we read that what will happen with the idols. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. Their burden. They stoop. They bow down together. And pay attention to its past tense. In this prophecy, the Lord speaks as if it already has happened. The remnant of Israel may be sure of God's deliverance. And what will happen to the idols? Well, the most powerful god Bel turns out to be weak. He bows down. He collapses. He is powerless. And Nebo will stoop. He will fall forward like Dagon fell on its face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And these mighty gods turn out to be nothing. And what happens then? Well, in a cynical way, the Lord describes what will happen with these gods. All their images will be plundered by the Persians. They will take the golden and silver statues and load them on their pack animals. Can you picture it? In the long procession, the pack animals carry along all these costly idols. The statues, which had been treated with much respect and reverence, are hanging around the animals, swinging back and forth, powerless. Gods that were responsible for the well-being of Babylon, and now they are carried off, since they are powerless. In verse 2 we read, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. This means that the idols were not even able to deliver their own images from captivity. They entered into exile, and with them all their worshippers. That is what idols are. They cannot help you. They do nothing. They cannot hear, they cannot see, they cannot walk. You have to carry them. And they make you busy and tired. And they are expensive as well, since their images are made of gold and silver. The gods you entrusted your whole life to turn out to be helpless nothings. And now they are taken into captivity by the Persians. And soon the statues will be melted by the Persians. Do you notice? Idols depend on man. And you get tired of idols. You have to carry them. They are nothing. Children, when you blow 10 times in your hand, what will you have then? Well, nothing. Well, idols are nothing. They make you tired and cause you a sore back because you have to carry them about. Well, congregation, this is the picture of the idols in the days of Israel's captivity. That happened a long time ago. And we don't have these gods, Bel and Nebo, anymore. There are many other idols. A couple of weeks ago, we were instructed about the first and second commandments. And we learned that we are inclined to place our trust in something or someone beside the Lord. And I believe the account we are listening to this morning has an important uncovering message for you and me as well. The question comes to us, what idol have we taken along into the new year? What gods are you carrying about? There can be many, but let me mention a few in relation to our text passage. I mentioned that many Jews were occupied with business and trade. Mammon is a prevalent idol in our days as well. Of money, one never gets enough. And it should strike us that the Lord Jesus warns for the mammon many times. Why? Well, because the mammon blinds you. He keeps you busy. And the distinction between the good and wrong use of money is easy to camouflage. It has to do with our hearts. When you are young and you dream about the future, you may also be dreaming about making much money. Maybe you are in the workforce. You work long days because much is needed. A car, a mortgage, a nice home, and so many other things need to be paid for. And you keep yourself busy, carrying your heavy load, blind for the deceitfulness of the mammon. And to strive for more and better makes you weary. Our society and economy want you to be busy, making and spending much money. Our economy is focused on growth. The sky is the limit. Maybe you say, I don't need much money, but a bit more would be better. And meanwhile, you drive the pins of your earthly tent deeper into the ground. Examine yourself. Do you live for money? What determines your agenda? Is it your work, your business, or hunting for bargains? But when it comes to the service of the Lord, you hardly have time or energy. You wear yourself out with heavy burdens. It makes you dead tired. Another god in our days is world conformity, which affects the church as well. It's easier to assimilate than to swim against the current. In our society, sin is no sin more. Sin is sin no more. And we so easily get used to sin. We hear blasphemy, see violence, and are tempted to view the carnal lusts as the dainties of the world as normal. You slowly change your opinions. What was considered sin 10 years ago, we consider differently now. Watch out. Before you know, you are captured. This can also be sin that has become a bosom sin, a besetting sin, and you get used to it. First, your conscience spoke, but by repeating the sin, your conscience is silenced. Your outward lifestyle is decent, but behind the front door, behind your screen, abominable things take place. Sin keeps you busy. Sin says never, it is enough. You get tired of this, and soon you will break your back by carrying around your stupid idols. Young people, what is the focus of your life? If you were asked to make a list of the 3 most desirable things, what would be on the list? Is seeking God's kingdom on the top of your list? Maybe you answer, oh, is that what you mean? Of course, the service of the Lord comes first. Well, if this does not first pop up in your mind, you probably are still carrying about idols. Whatever it may be, and whatever you call them, don't deceive yourself. Your heart is a factory of idols. And you are carrying about a burden, since you are preoccupied with the things of this life. And if this is about you, and this does not change, you will perish with your idols. But there are also spiritual idols. Idols that are present in church. For instance, the idol of reasoning. Your reasoning keeps you from surrendering to the Lord. You reason that you are not able to convert yourself. You cannot change yourself, and you conclude that you must wait till the Lord intervenes. And secretly, you consider yourself to be better than those who profess to serve the Lord, but whose lifestyle does not match their profession. You consider yourself better than these hypocrites. But you forget that both hypocrites and those who know themselves to be unconverted will not enter the kingdom of God. It's time to examine yourself and to weigh the burden you are carrying about. your sin, your guilt. Don't you feel the burden? Oh, humble yourself before the Lord, because your burden will crush you at last. There's also another spiritual idol. The idol of spiritual feelings. You are satisfied with some religious feelings without knowing the solid foundation in Christ Jesus. And this may show up when, during a home visitation, you speak about the preaching or about your personal Bible reading. You make some good comments. You are serious. You know what needs to be known in spiritual life. And you have at times experienced sorrow over your sins. And then all of a sudden, you are confronted by the question, what have you seen of Christ's beauty? And then you are not sure what to answer. Not because you are shy or a man of few words, but because you have never really seen something of Christ by true faith. And you consider yourself to be converted, but it turns out to be nothing but a thin veneer. You find rest in some sweet feelings, and you stick to your good opinion about yourself, comforting yourself with some good sounding reasonings. But you are carrying about your own spiritual life. You are serving a work-based religion. Who is carrying whom? If you are still carrying about idols, I admonish you in the name of the Lord to stop at once and to repent. You break your back under a burden which you cannot bear. You deceive yourself. It is not well with your soul as long as you don't seek the Lord and His mercy. The text speaks also about being carried. That is the second part of the text. You are blessed if you no longer are carrying about your burdens, but instead are being carried by God. The hinge to this blessedness is found in the first words of verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. To all those who cannot carry their idols any longer, the Lord speaks comforting words. To the remnant of Israel, to those who suffer from being taken into captivity and who lament their spiritual decline, they wonder, what will become of God's people? What will become of God's honor and glory? They can no longer carry their burdens of sin and sorrow. And to them the Lord says, hearken unto me. And behind these words we hear a precious gospel. Hearken unto me. They had heard these words many times from the Torah, the five books of Moses. They had heard these words many times in their youth when they were taught by their fathers. What? Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Maybe this is one of the most, this is one of the best known prayers. Actually, it's a confession. Up to this very day, Jews pray this prayer in the morning and evening. Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. The idols are nothing, but the God of Israel is truly God. And in this confession, we hear the manner in which God wants to be served. The God of Israel cannot be carried about, but He carries His people. Hearken, Israel! Only in this way the Lord can be served, by hearing. And this is at the core of His people, serving Him. You can only be saved by listening. You need to hear with your heart. And in the sequel of verse 3 and 4, the Lord explains what it means to be, what it means that He carries His people, which are born by Me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. We see two pictures of being carried. The picture of a baby in the womb that is carried by its mother, and the picture of an old person who cannot help himself anymore. Or has referred to those who are old and weak. They need daily care. And the Lord says, I bear My people Israel from the very beginning of their existence till the last breath. And God promises to take care of His church throughout the whole history. That is a rich comfort for God's church, also for this new year. Isaiah uses different verbs to express God carrying His people. We read at the close of verse 4, I have made, and I will bear, I will carry, and will serve, and will save. I will deliver you. The emphasis is on each I. That is Israel's God. This is the living God of the church. I have. I will. We weary ourselves with serving the idols, which are nothing. But God is Lord, and God says, I am He, I am who I am, I am the God of the covenant, who is faithful to His word, I am the God of Israel's. And He says, I have made you. This verb displays God's one-sided work. God has chosen sovereignly with an everlasting love. And because it pleases the Almighty God, Maker of heaven and earth, to be served by people who did not seek Him. The Lord wants to be served by a people that He has chosen in His good pleasure. Just recall who the Lord called to be His people. Abraham was called while he was serving the idols. And later on, Israel is delivered out of Egypt. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Hosea 11. God delivered His people from slavery. And the Lord is served by those whom He has taught to obey. We hear a serious call from the history of Israel if you don't know how to serve the Lord. Maybe you have struggled hard last year to serve the Lord according to His will. You tried, but you failed. No, you cannot. Listen carefully. The secret of serving the Lord is not what you do, but what God is doing. We don't need to carry God's case, but He carries our case. Not I choose for God, but God chooses His people. Not I will carry God's faithfulness, but God's faithfulness, His church. Not you come to through knowledge, but the Lord opens your darkened understanding. God promises His people, I will carry you. And in exile, the Lord says to His remnant, I am the unchangeable one. Out of sovereign grace, I have made you. I call my people so that they will sing to my glory. And God is still the same. He says also at the beginning of this new year, there can be many concerns about the future of the church, and maybe you have a great concern about one or more of your children. What will be left of the fear of the Lord? And you don't know what to do, and you don't know what will become of them. It's a blessing when you get the sight of the God of the covenant, who is always the same, carrying His church from the beginning to the end. And the other three verbs explain who God is. First, the Lord will bear you. And the word used here is the same as used in verse 7. There we read about people who eagerly stretch forth their hands to the statutes to bear them. The Lord says, I am that one who eagerly stretches out my hands to my people to lift them up, to bear them. We notice the biblical picture of a shepherd carrying a lamb that has gone astray. Just recall the well-known parable of Luke chapter 15 and the portion about the good shepherd in John chapter 10. The good shepherd goes out to seek and find the lost sheep. And you know that the shepherd is a picture of the Lord Jesus. He does not stop seeking till he has found his stubborn sheep that has wandered off. The sheep has brought itself into deep trouble. But the shepherd is eager to bow. He's eager to bow over that lost sheep and lift it up and to bear it from the depths. The Lord says to you who has gone astray, not obeying the Lord's voice, I am still the same. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in the past I have found my people steeped in idolatry. I have found my people serving me according to their own imaginations. I sought and found them while they did not seek me. And under the preaching of the gospel, the good shepherd comes to you and says, here I am. I have come to seek and find that which is lost. Are you lost? Have you gone astray from him? He stretches forth his arms, showing his willingness to deliver you from your sin, from your foolishness. God is moved with compassion on lost ones in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I will bear you. Even I will carry, says the Lord. I will carry. And the word used here means to bear a burden, to drag along. God's people are a burden for the Lord. Maybe this surprises you. Can God become tired of bearing His people? Well, yes, in a way, this is true. Recall the history of Israel. The people are at the border of the promised land. And God encourages them, reminding them to who God is. Deuteronomy 1, verse 31. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son. God bears his people as a man doth bear his son. What kind of son was Israel? 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, "It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Israel was a burden to God. He bore them with long suffering, with divine patience. In the wilderness, they rebelled against God time and again. And yet the Lord bore his people, providing them manna from heaven, guiding and protecting them with the pillar of cloud and fire. Though Israel behaved himself as a disobedient son, the Lord bore them as a man bears his son. This means with tender care, with love, with attention for the well-being of his people. Isn't that a miracle? If this has become a miracle for you, you will also bow your head in deep humility, since you must confess, "I am not worthy to be called his son." And with shame you humbly confess your unfaithfulness, and you marvel, "Lord, art thou still willing to bear me?" The Lord is willing. Jesus Christ has borne his people on his heart when he suffered hellish agony because of their sins. Though his accomplished work, through his accomplished work, we can receive reconciliation, whereby God can abide with his people. God carries his people in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when you see your foolishness and unfaithfulness in the light of the burden he bore, namely the wrath of God against sin, you feel ashamed. And sin becomes so bitter in the light of a suffering Lord Jesus. If you have true faith, you will confess, "What a miracle that the Lord still bears me in spite of me." The Lord is the same. He is faithful. The Lord promises, "I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. I will deliver you." This is the last verb mentioned in verse 4. It points to deliverance from a life-threatening situation. Yes, deliverance from death. God delivers his people from eternal destruction. And here we see another biblical image, namely an eagle carrying its eaglets. An eagle stirs up its nest. But the eaglets cannot fly yet. And they fall out of the nest. And the eagle flutters over its young, one that is about to crush on the rocks. She spreads her wings to catch her young, one before it reaches the abyss, and carries it on her wings. Like the eagle watching and carrying for her young ones, God watches and cares for his people. They are about to die. And left to themselves, they will fall into the abyss of hell, since they cannot carry themselves. They cannot deliver themselves from their sins. But God delivers. Jesus Christ is the God-given Savior who delivers from eternal destruction. Jesus Christ delivers. He saves. He redeems. He is the perfect Savior for his people. This means that in Jesus Christ you find all you need, since it is his task to save God's chosen ones. And sometimes the Lord let you run stuck. You sense that there is no way out. You see only the abyss of impossibilities. The abyss of hopelessness. And the Lord burdens His people with all kinds of difficulties, so that they will come to the acknowledgement, I cannot help myself. I cannot carry myself. I cannot save myself from guilt and sin. And what a blessing when God, so to speak, steers you up so that you discover that you totally depend on Him, who in Jesus Christ is able and willing to carry you on His wings. The Lord says, I am, I have made, I will bear, even will I carry and will deliver you. What do you lack? What is your misery? What hinders you from a close communion with the Lord? Is it your guilt before God? With Him there is forgiveness of sin. Is it the power of sin and the dainties of the world that keep you trapped? He has conquered the power of sin and Satan. You don't know how to receive the salvation which is found in Christ? He condescends to you by His Word and Spirit in order to apply all the benefits which is He has merited. And don't continue to carry about all your objections and impossibilities. Come to Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has borne all by His suffering and death. Of Him Isaiah has prophesied, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His stripes we are healed. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He has borne the unbearable burden so that you can be saved. And therefore, He can grant you faith, repentance, forgiveness of sin, enlightened eyes of understanding. He gives peace for your restless heart, hope while you are hopeless, life while your heart is cold and hard. He grants all kinds of spiritual blessings. That is what He did yesterday. That is what He is willing to do today and will do in the future. He is the same. This also has practical implications for your life's circumstances, for the difficulties you experience now and for what may come this year. We don't know at all what this year will bring. There may well be sorrow, grief, pain, disappointments, or other difficulties. Maybe you don't know how to carry on this year. The Lord says to you this morning, hearken unto Me. I will carry you. You don't need to carry it yourself. The Lord does not promise that He will take away all your burdens. It can even become more burdensome. The Lord promises that He will carry. That means that with the Lord, there is manifold grace. He promises to give rest, peace, courage, hope in all that burdens you. And what a blessing if you discover at the beginning of this new year, the Lord is present. He carries. Then you can sing with Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. And the Hebrew text actually says, who daily bears our burdens. Maybe your strength will decline this year. Maybe this year your funeral will take place. Not only old people pass away. Young people can die as well. However, if you know the Lord in truth, you may take comfort from these words. He carries your life every single day. He carries even over the Jordan of death. Is He carrying you? Or are you still carrying yourself and your idols? Who is carrying whom? If you refuse to be carried, you will get dead tired. Your end will not be well. Don't carry on this year unconverted, but seek the Lord of the covenant, who has promised to be willing and able to carry you. And what a blessing if you may know something of this miracle of grace. Then you can only marvel about the Lord's goodness, since He carries you in spite of who you are. Though your daily life will be stained by many sins, which cause you to humble yourself before the Lord, He says to you this morning, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am He. I am the first, I also am the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who carries you from the beginning of your life till your last breath. He will not forsake the works of His hands. Amen.